Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Scientists in Tech, a mini-series on DTNS. I'm Dr. Nikki Ackermans, and today I talk to Grant Coffey. He's the research database manager at Crow Canyon Archaeological Center in southwestern Colorado. He pilots drones to survey ancient Pueblo archaeological sites and find structures that are otherwise difficult to see. If you wouldn't mind presenting yourself, your full name, what you do, and why you're here.
Hi, yeah, I'm Grant Coffey. I'm the database manager here at Crow Canyon Archaeological Center. So I manage the database that we've compiled of archaeological fieldwork over the past 30 plus years. And as part of that job description, I also do a lot of GIS work, and I'm the drone pilot. I fly the unmanned aerial vehicle for Crow Canyon to record our excavations and other fieldwork that we do.
That's very cool. Can you explain what GIS is for our listeners?
Yeah, it's geographic information systems, and basically it's a way of getting really precise geographic information about just about anything on the planet. You know, road builders, dam builders, engineers, everybody uses GIS information and technology.
So how do you measure that?
Well, there are a number of ways. One of the most prolific ways that you find your location on the planet is through a GPS, global positioning system. Mm-hmm. And that's a constellation of satellites that orbit the Earth, and they use triangulation to specifically pinpoint your location on the planet using this constellation of satellites that are out there in space. And it's really a highly accurate and very usable way of finding your location on the ground. There's also other ways you can do it, but that's probably the most prolific way folks do it today.
Sure. And so just very quickly, but what's Crow Canyon's main focus in archaeology? Just so people can get a basic understanding.
Yeah, well, we conduct archaeological research in the context of public education. So we try to involve the public as much as we can in our field and lab work. That includes everybody from middle school students through adults that are interested in participating in our programs. And we try to do all of this in partnership with our Native American collaborators and partners. We have a Pueblo advisory group that really has a proactive input into our research design and the way we conduct our field and lab work. So we really try to involve the public as much as we can and collaborate as much as we can with our Native American and Pueblo partners.
Yeah, that's really important. Straight on, I want to dive into the drone thing because I'm so excited to hear how you do archaeology with drones. So please, you know, feel free to nerd out about that part.
Sure. Yeah. Drones are really exciting. You know, they've really opened up a whole new realm of archaeology that we didn't have available to us before. You know, it's really a relatively easy, and it's getting less expensive all the time. It's a way to really record in detail archaeological sites, context, features from the air using a drone. And there's different ways to do this. Probably the most prolific use of drones is for high-resolution aerial photography. So a lot of drones have a camera attached to them, depending on the type of drone. There's many different types of drones. There's fixed-wing drones that actually look like a miniature airplane with a fixed camera stuck to the bottom of them. And they use those really to get information on really big areas. So if you're talking about pretty high acreage, a lot of land that you want to cover, oftentimes people use fixed-wing drones. Probably the most commonly used drone type in today's archaeology is a quadcopter. So it's basically, it's got four propellers that provide the lift and the thrust. And at the bottom of that, you've got what they call a gimbal, an attachment that a camera is attached to on the very bottom. And you can control this remotely, obviously, because it's an unmanned aerial vehicle. You're not riding it, but you're controlling it from the ground, usually with a remote control. And often you have a display that's provided through like a tablet or a cell phone where you can actually see what the drone is seeing and you can control it that way. So just about every major archaeological contract firm or research institution has drones available to them today in whatever form. And usually probably the main use of them is for taking aerial photographs, really high resolution aerial photographs. And once you have those photographs, that opens up a whole nother possibility of modeling, that you can stitch all of these photographs together to create a three-dimensional rendering of the landscape and archaeological sites.
So what specifically are you looking for when you go up in the air with your drone? You're going towards a site that you have a suspicion or you already know there's archaeological stuff there. And so what are you trying to see with your drone?
It's a really good question. And, you know, there's a lot of different uses. Some people use them for what we call archaeological survey, just trying to go out on the landscape and see what you can find in terms of archaeological resources. So one way to do that is to programmatically fly a given section of land using different software packages where you can define the area of interest, the height of the flight that you want to take from a given point, and the amount of overlap that you want in all of your images. And you can programmatically, it's like autopilot. You fly this area in transects to just gather general information where you might see things like depressions or swales or differences in vegetative growth that may point to the presence of archaeological sites in a survey area. And another way is if you have ongoing excavations, for instance, you can take periodic photographs and stitch them together to show the excavations through time, through a process called photogrammetry. So you can use it as a document, you know, to document archaeological excavations as they're ongoing. You can use it to survey for archaeological sites. And really, you can use it in a lot of other ways that don't involve photography. For instance, there's LIDAR-enabled drones these days where you can actually affix a LIDAR instrument to the bottom of the drone. And by LIDAR, I mean light detection and ranging, where it's actually emitting a laser pulse and measuring the time it bounces back to the scanner to create a really dense point cloud of 3D vector data that has X, Y, and Z coordinates, this giant point cloud for trying to...
So you get like a 3D soil, or not soil, but like ground structure afterwards, and you can tell from that what kind of structures are you looking at in your work?
In our work...
Are we talking like castles? Are we talking, you know...
Right. Yeah, it's a really good question. We work in southwestern Colorado predominantly, and we really focus on the archaeology of the ancestral Pueblo occupation of southwestern Colorado from about AD 500 to about AD 1280. So there's a variety of different features and structures that folks built in the area at that time. Mm-hmm. Probably some of the most common are pit structures or kivas, which are circular subterranean structures that were built from about AD 1000 to AD 1280. And what they leave on the modern ground surface today is really a general kind of bowl-shaped depression at the surface. And it can be almost impossible to see from the modern ground surface, but oftentimes you can detect them by walking over them. And then we also get room block rubble mounds.
Room blocks, they're like ancient kind of small type apartment buildings, sort of.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. The pueblos were their contiguous room blocks. Oftentimes, particularly in the 1200s, they're multi-story. So, in a lot of ways, they would resemble larger apartment buildings today, with that are often associated with subterranean features and structures like kivas.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes? Flat, rounded, textured, or tall? Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So when you collect this data from the drone work, you said you get point data from the LiDAR and then imaging data. You can then reconstruct these structures in 3D?
You can. You know, the way we do it in-house mostly is through the images themselves, through the photographs that you take from here. And what you do is you stitch those together in a process that's called photogrammetry. And really what photogrammetry means is you're making measurements essentially from photographs. Mm-hmm. And you have at least 2 photographs. And in each of those photographs, you have to have a comma point or a tie point between those. And what it does is it figures out the perspective of the camera and the location of the camera when it took an image relative to that three-dimensional physical object that's depicted in both frames. Mm-hmm. So it's really triangulating, just like the GPS, sure. And just like our eyes do. You know, our eyeballs use triangulation to figure out depth perception. And that's what photogrammetry software is doing.
So what would the researchers do with this data? What can they find out?
That's a good question. You know, the things that you can't really see easily on the ground, oftentimes you can pick up with drone work. So another aspect of drone work is infrared photography. So what you're doing is you're actually going beyond the visible spectrum in the electromagnetic spectrum to look at heat, essentially. It's kind of the same thing that your remote control uses to switch the channel on your TV oftentimes. But in infrared, what you're looking at is essentially differences in vegetative growth on the landscape. So places where vegetation grows better or worse, and that gives off an infrared signature. And it's kind of a thermal signature, essentially, where it's cooler, better vegetation growth versus hotter, less vegetation growth. Okay. And differences in that can oftentimes point to things that you can't see with the naked eye, things like roads and trails that are really subtle, ancient roads and trails.
So you'd have like worse vegetation growth over a trail because it didn't have as much time to grow?
That could be. Oftentimes it's disturbed context where I say that there's a berm that parallels a constructed road where they actually cleared portion of the roadway and piled the excess material in a berm that parallels that road.
Okay.
Oftentimes in that disturbed sediment, vegetation will grow a little bit better than in that kind of hard-packed, cleared area of the road. So you've got these things in tandem that you can look for in infrared imagery, potentially to detect roads. And it doesn't work every time, but it's definitely something.
It's really cool that you see this from the sky and you see like maybe a line of less well-grown trees and better-grown trees, and you say, "Oh, that could be an ancient road." And
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really exciting because it's really allowed us to kind of expand our perspective from just purely ground-based or, you know, one or two frames from an elevated position, having the capability to create these mosaics, these photogrammetry models that are really 3D models that you can take into GIS software. It's really a powerful tool.
Yeah. And you said you work in the data. What did you say it was? Data storage?
Yeah, our research database, which contains information from all of our excavations over the last 30 plus years. It's really robust and interesting data.
How much data is that? Can you guess?
I should have the numbers right in front of me, but it's you know, it's thousands and thousands of records, and it's everything from provenience to field specimen information about individual artifacts that came out. Information about the sites, information about the photos. I should have looked up how many photos we have.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure it's a crazy amount.
It's really large. It's a really large and powerful database that a lot of different researchers working at Crow Canyon over the years have compiled.
And so continuing on the drone thing, because it's so cool. So you're the drone pilot. Is the drone the coolest piece of tech that you get to use in your job, like personally?
Oh, boy. I think it probably is the coolest. It's kind of interesting to fly the drone commercially in the United States. You have to have an FAA certification, a small unmanned aerial vehicle rating with the FAA. So you do have to take a test, and that part's probably not the most wildly fascinating part. But once you get the certification, you can go out there and you can use the drone to try to, you know, look for things that nobody's seen before. And record these things with incredible detail. Some of these photogrammetric models have accuracy down to like 1 centimeter that was hard to do with other means of recording. So it's really exciting and it's fun to do.
So since you've been doing this drone work, what are some big findings that have sort of jumped out at you? The ones that you're allowed to talk about, of course.
One of the most exciting projects I've probably been a part of was a collaborative project where we worked with Canyons of the Ancients National Monument, which is part of the Bureau of Land Management right here by Crow Canyon Archaeological Center, and a couple of different private outfits, Route Scene, who's a drone mapping outfit, and Caddis Aerial, who actually did the flight. But we did a LIDAR flight of San Canyon Pueblo. It's a really large canyon head village that dates to the late AD 1200s. And we flew a six prop drone, a big drone, over the area with the LIDAR device mounted at kind of an oblique angle because this site has a lot of trees and vegetation on it. And what we were able to do from that was we collected about 3.2 billion points of data over the site, and it works out to about 400 points per square meter from the LIDAR data. And Crow Canyon excavated at the site in the late 80s and 90s, and so we were able to take this new LIDAR data that once we had all of the data collected, we were able to peel off the trees and look at the bare earth portion of the site where you can see all these subtle kiva depressions and moonblock rubble mounds and the remains of masonry towers and things. And it was really remarkable how well the Crow Canyon map matched up to what we were seeing on the LIDAR.
You guys did a good job.
But there were also some areas that showed things that weren't on the map that you couldn't really see on the ground.
Cool.
You need to go back and ground truth. So it's part of the scientific process, you know, going back and reevaluating things using new technology and trying to see things that you didn't see before.
That must be really helpful instead of having to go in by foot and do everything to be able to just go in with a drone, especially in areas where I assume like hiking is not the best option. I mean, it is high desert. There's scrub everywhere. It's hot.
Right. Yeah. And there's some things that you just, when you're standing there on the ground, it's really difficult to get the perspective that you can get. And it's relatively quick. I mean, we flew, I think, three different transects on those automated flights, and the whole thing took probably 45 minutes. To do those flights. The processing time took a lot more, and Route Scene folks did a lot of the processing on that data. But still, it's really quick. When you can say you wanted to map that with a high resolution GPS, it would take you I don't know, at least four times that long, probably much longer than
days.
That. Yeah, days yeah. and days yeah. and days to get it done. So
I have this curious question. I don't know what you're going to think, but if someone who's flying a drone for fun sees an interesting depression in their drone camera, what do you tell them to do?
Well, you know, I would encourage, you know, avocational folks and people who just do it for fun to be on the lookout. If you're flying it, say, over some farm ground that you have and you see something that's really interesting, get in touch with your local avocational archaeological group or professional archaeologists locally and send them a photo of it and see what they think, because that's the way oftentimes new sites and features are recognized these days. So, yeah, get in touch. If you have any questions, if you find something cool, get in touch with your local archaeologist.
That's a perfect way to segue to how do people find you, Grant, if they want to get in touch with your work or they find a cool depression. I'm sorry if I send all the drone enthusiasts your way from this.
Sure. Yeah. My email's on our, we have a website, Crow Canyon Archaeological Center. Just Google Crow Canyon staff. You'll be able to find it.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this.
You bet.
Thanks again to Grant Coffey for coming on the show. You can find me on Twitter at Ackerman's Nicole, and you can catch Scientists in Tech next week when I talk to Dr. Susan Lemberg about teleporting mice.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.